Welcome to Living Waters Church podcast. You're now listening to another life-changing message from Pastor Tony Williams.
It's good to be in God's presence. If you have your Bibles, come with me to the book of the book of Revelation. I'm going to read from chapter 3, book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. The Lord Jesus said, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your ground. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. I will write on him my new name." Father, again, we thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for your weighty presence. We honor you for this presence, God. And we thank you for your word. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to open the eyes of our understanding that we might truly perceive through our spiritual eyes that which you are showing us. Open our ears that we may hear what your Spirit is even saying to your church today. And then, Lord, open our hearts that we might comprehend the height, the depth, the breadth, the width of the love of God. Because we love you, but nowhere near as much as you love us. I thank you for the anointing of your Spirit. And I look to you, Lord, as I now choose to decrease, may you increase and use me for your glory. I simply desire, Lord, to be a vessel of honor. Even now, Lord, I stand before you and I say, Lord, cleanse me and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. I want to be a vessel that is pleasing to you, that honors you and is used by you for honorable things. And let your glory continue to abide with us even now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This is the sixth and final part of our series, Living Ready. This is the conclusion, the crescendo, and in this particular teaching, I will be encouraging you with some thoughts that will enable you to understand what the things that you actually need to do in order for you to live ready. For those of you who are not familiar with what's been happening over the last few weeks, been communicating from the scriptures the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we've gone through almost six weeks of it. This is the sixth week. We've looked at the events of the second coming, the rapture of the church, the tribulation period, and of course, the glorious appearing, which is the actual second coming of Jesus Christ. So now I'm going to give you seven very, very quick principles, if you like, that will enable you and prepare you to be a person, to be a man or a woman, a child of God who is living ready, who is living daily with an anticipation of the return of Jesus Christ, because that is exactly what we need to be doing. We need to be living daily with an anticipation that at any moment in time, Christ Jesus could return for his church, because he could. If you recall from the earlier teaching, there is absolutely nothing left that needs to be, no prophecy that needs to be fulfilled, no event that needs to happen before the church is removed from this world. And there are many, many signs that are pointing towards the fact that this son of perdition, this Antichrist, is not only on the move, but he will be revealed soon. So we need to be a people who are ready. We need to be a people who are prepared. And this is why I am now sharing this very last part of our series. So the first principle is pretty straightforward, but at the same time, extremely important, because if it wasn't for it, none of us, for those of us who belong to Christ, none of us will be here today. And the first principle is, of course, we must be born again. We must be born again. Someone say amen.
Amen.
This is the first key, and it is the most important key. John chapter 3, verse 3 to 5 says, Jesus answered and said to him, this is to Nicodemus, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." See, every born-again Christian must first see the kingdom. You need to first see the kingdom before you can enter the kingdom. If we cannot see the kingdom, then we shouldn't have any hopes of entering the kingdom. And you need to understand that it is the person of the Holy Spirit, this born-again experience, that is called regeneration, that causes your spiritual eyes to be awakened to the wonders of the kingdom of heaven. This ability to see the kingdom has nothing to do with a physical sight. This is a spiritual and a supernatural reality. And God wants us to be a people who can see it. And you know why seeing it is important? Because without sight, without a vision, the people will not only perish, but they will cast off restraint. When you see something, you will have a yearning for it. You will have a longing for it. When you see something that is more desirable than anything that you can see in the physical, you will say, I am not going to allow anything that I am doing or not doing, anything that I am going through or not going through, to keep me from entering into this place. This is why we are to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Any person who is struggling with their faith has taken their eyes off of Jesus. Anyone who feels insecure or unsure about their salvation has taken their eyes off of Jesus. Anyone who perpetually finds themselves going through the valley of despair, the valley of brokenness, has taken their eyes off of Jesus. When we keep our eyes on Jesus, we see him as our ongoing, perpetual, supernatural GPS. He is the one who says, "This is the way, walk ye in it." He is the one who says, if you walk in this path, you're not going to stumble and fall. You just need to keep on looking at me. You just need to keep on staring at me. You've got to keep on fixing your eyes on me, because that's what it means to see the kingdom. Because if we don't see it, we'll cast off restraint. We won't care anymore. But rather, we will allow ourselves to become very, very careful of things that have no eternal significance. We need to see the kingdom, and then we can enter the kingdom of God. And our entry into the kingdom of God is not something that happens when we close our eyes in death. It is something that happens when we choose to surrender our lives to Jesus Christ while we are still living. And when we do close our eyes in death, we have the assurance that we will spend an eternity and the rest of our eternity in the presence of God in heaven, and not separated from God in the place that the Bible refers to as hell. Therefore, the kingdom of God is both a present and future reality for the born-again believer. and for everyone who has truly been born again. So what's the kingdom life? The kingdom life is a life that is lived from a higher plane. It is a life that exists in and is sustained by the presence of God. It is a life of godly separation. And it is also a life that is supercharged with the glory, the majesty, the grace, the love, and the power of Jesus. The kingdom life is a life that is given over completely to the obedience of God's word. Now, only those who are truly born again disciples, and I emphasize the word disciples, I want to touch on something very briefly. I'm going to speak on this in January, but I'll tell you this now. It's interesting that not everyone's definition of what a Christian is the same. You got to understand this now. How many times have you heard of people who say, well, I am a Christian because I was raised in a Christian family, I was born in a Christian country, I was confirmed or infant baptized, sprinkled, and christened in a Christian church. So that makes me a Christian. You know, one interesting fact is this. The word Christian only appears 3 times in the New Testament. The word believer appears a few more times. Or to be precise, the word believer, or the term believer. But the word disciple appears well over 200 times. You can be a Christian, but not a believer. Amen? Some of you know Christians who are not believers. That's why only those who believe will have signs following them. If signs are following you, then that is a marker that you are not only a Christian, but you are a believer. But you need to, following on from that, you even have those who believe, but they are not disciples. You can believe something, but not fully give yourself to it. You can believe something, but not allow what you believe to condition your thinking and to order your steps. Are you with me this morning? So to refer to yourself as a Christian is absolutely fine, but you need to know for yourself why you call yourself a Christian. To refer to yourself as a believer is all right, but you need to demonstrate why you believe what you believe. Amen. And we don't demonstrate why we believe what we believe by words only. We demonstrate why we believe what we believe, particularly by what we do. Because what we do truly reveals who we are. And ultimately, he wants disciples. And that's simply what it comes down to. We need to be disciples of Jesus Christ. So that's the first thing. We need to be born again. We must be disciples. If we're not born again, if you're not born again this morning, if you have not been born again by the washing of the water and by the word of God and by the Spirit of the living God, then you need to rectify that. You need to do something about that. The second thing that we need to do in preparation for the return of Christ in order for us to live ready is this. It's a bit of a long one, but we need to get planted. And we need to stay planted in a truth-preaching, God-honoring, Christ-centered, Holy Spirit-empowered, prayer-saturated, soul-winning, and disciple-making church. Amen. If you want to take, actually, the notes are going to be available because the life groups are back. But if you're not in a life group and you want to take the notes, I'll say it again. We have got to be planted, and we need to stay planted in a truth-preaching, God-honoring, Christ-centered, Holy Spirit-empowered, prayer-saturated, soul-winning, and discipleship-making church. See, I hear many Christians make statements like, I just want Jesus to come back and rapture his church so that we can be taken out of this mess that's the world. Now hear me on this. As great and as awesome as the rapture of the church and the coming of the Lord is going to be, our main focus should not be the main focus should not be about us being taken away from the earth to heaven. Our main focus needs to be bringing heaven to earth. That's why we are here. And we are not here to maintain or to indulge ourselves. We are not here to maintain the kingdom. We are here to advance the kingdom. But you can't advance something that you haven't entered into. And you cannot enter something thoroughly that you have not yet seen, you have not yet perceived. And the only way that can happen and really be worked out in your life is being part of a house of God that honors God, that has Christ Jesus at the very center of everything that it does, that preaches the truth of God's word uncompromisingly. A house of faith that is filled with the Holy Spirit, overflowing with the Holy Spirit, saturated by prayer, passionate about winning souls for Christ and making disciples. But this is the situation that is faced in our land and all across our land. But God is about to change it. Amen. We heard about the divine invasion, the supernatural invasion that's coming. And it's an invasion of heaven to earth. Amen. And the things that have been tolerated will now no longer be tolerated in the house of God. And God is going to start shaking things up big time, right across denominations. And churches are going to be reborn. Churches are going to be planted. Churches are going to be repurposed. And they are going to be refired by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord said that any flesh and blood, any man or woman that will stand in the way of what he's about to do will be removed from that position. This is what God is saying. So for me, as a senior pastor, I say, God, I would rather humble myself than you humble me. I want to tell you that Living Waters Church is a truth preaching, God honoring, Christ centered, Holy Spirit empowered, prayer saturated, soul winning, and discipleship making church. Hallelujah. And I give God praise for that. Number three, we need to develop a habit of reading and studying and meditating on the entirety of Scripture. You see, it is the truth that we know that will set us free. What you don't know will hurt you. You say, well, you know, what I don't know won't hurt me. No. If you don't know the truth of God's word, you don't have the defense. He is your defense, but you need to know that so that you can stand in the day of adversity. You know, the grace of God is not a passive grace. It's an active grace that requires participation. That's why it's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit in the Greek means partnership or participation. We cannot just assume that God does it all and we do nothing. And that's why, yes, by his grace, we haven't been utterly destroyed. But God said, you're not allowing my grace to be as active and as functional in you as it should be. Because he requires participation. When we participate with God, by being a people of his word, by understanding what the Word of God says about who He is in us and who we are in Him, then when the enemy comes, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. How can you raise up a standard you don't even know you have? But the Word of God is a standard. The blood is a standard. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is a standard. All of the above, every single promise that is yes and amen is God's standard against the enemy's onslaught concerning your life. Amen. And he wants to distract you with everything under the sun. He wants to distract you because he needs you to stop looking for the return of Christ. That's what he wants. He wants you to be fixed on the temporal. That's what he wants. Every single one of us in this room, we've been through things, some in some cases could have killed us, broken us, rendered us incapable of moving forward, immobile. The enemy comes and says, yeah, you've been abandoned, you've been discarded, God is through with you, and this situation is never going to change. Lie, 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 lie. As painful as these things have been, God says, you got to understand, before you entered into it, I was with you. While you were going through it, I was with you. And when you come out of it, I will also be with you. Because my word has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never turn my back on you. My word says that even when you are faithless, I remain faithful. Even when you are unfaithful, I remain loyal. I give you my full fidelity. God does not cheat. He doesn't fool around. He is a faithful God. You can depend upon him. You can rely upon him. He will never let you down. He will never let you go. But there is a devil who wants you to take your eyes off of Jesus and fix your eyes on all of that mess that is going on around you so that you cannot look, you can stop looking for his coming. We need to be a people of the word. The hard words and the soft words. See, there are some animals that have to eat hard stones as well as soft grain. Because without the hard stones, they will not be able to properly digest the soft grain. The Word of God is exactly the same. We must consume the so-called hard words as well as the soft. Otherwise, we will not be able to properly digest and divide the scriptures. Are you with me this morning?
Yes.
Our attitude towards the Bible will determine whether or not we will be amongst those who will be deceived in the last days. It's as simple as that. Jesus said in Matthew 24:24, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. That's what the Lord has said would happen, and it's going to happen. So how can we safeguard ourselves from possible deception? By asking God to give us supernatural discernment? Of course. Absolutely. Amen to that. But how else? By becoming what Acts 17 verse 11 describes, men and women who are Bereans. By becoming a Berean, you will examine everything. You will not take things for face value. I thank you, and I am honored, and I am privileged that you have allowed me to have this position to preach and to teach the Word of God to you. But every single thing that comes from this platform must be scrutinized under the magnifying glass of the Word of God.
Amen.
Everything. And I submit myself to that. Some of you haven't heard, you haven't heard this for the first time. I openly do that. I have nothing to hide. And if I'm having an off day and I talk rubbish, the first person that will deal with me is the Spirit of God. And then when the brother or sister comes and says, Pastor, can you confirm, you know, what did you mean by that? I will be the first person to say, oh dear, I didn't see that. You know why? I'll be accountable for this. Come on, church. I'm not here to play games. I'm not here for kudos or for my reputation. I'm here for his reputation. I'm not here to, let me tell you something. You need to be someone of the Word of God. And when you become a person of the Word of God, the more you truly get into the Word, the first sign that God's Word is operational in you is humility. When I see brothers and sisters, even in the ministry, puffed up because of revelation, it repulses me. I'm not impressed, and neither is God. Because he will not have us become like Hezekiah, showing all of the treasures of Israel and Judah to the kings of Babylon. Oh, let me show you what God has shown me. Let me reveal to you this truth and this nugget. Why? To put a hook in you so that they can draw you to themselves, so that they can attract you by their infinite wisdom and knowledge, and thereby take you away from the one whom you should constantly have your eyes fixed on, Messiah himself. I say time and time again, this is your second source, your secondary source. Your primary source is your prayer closet. If you don't have a prayer closet, you need to find a prayer closet. You need to get into the Word of God. If you don't get into the Word of God, when these things start to happen, child of God, you will be subject to deception. But by God's grace, even if you don't do that, what you get from your secondary source will be enough to keep you from having any kind of wool being pulled over your eyes. Amen. I remember when we used to go to New Wine about 5 years ago, one of our sisters here, she went to, it was a strange day. We went to a meeting and some odd things were being spoken in this meeting. They weren't correct. That's all I can say. They were not doctrinally correct. And this lady stood up and said, excuse me, I don't agree with what you've just said. The guy said to her, "What, you know, could you mind not interrupting me?" And she sat down. He carried on. She gets up. I can't even remember what the topic was. She gets up and she says, excuse me, I don't agree with what you've just said. She says, listen, can we just talk after the meeting? He says, no, we want to talk after the meeting. Because all of these people are listening to what you're saying, and it's not correct. And she says, oh, please, listen. Damn me. I felt sorry for him. At the end of the thing, before the end, the guy who was hosting this particular seminar said to the woman, what is your name? I won't tell you her name. He said, what church do you go to? And who is your pastor? Is your pastor here? She says, yes, my pastor is here. He said, what church do you go to? Living Waters Church in Paynton. What's your pastor's name? Tony Williams. The guy said, I see. I'm not kidding. I'm not making it up. I've never met the guy. Maybe once, I don't know, but I'm telling you, there is a significant responsibility that comes with feeding God's people with truth. Because when you are fed with truth and the lie presents itself, forget about the deception. That's a separate thing. I'm talking about the daily lies of the enemy that plague your mind. When you are fed with the truth, you say, No, I'm sorry, devil. I choose to believe God's word and not your lies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've got to be a people of the word. Number four, you need to become a person of prayer. Prayer is essential if we are to know and understand the heart of God. It is in the place of prayer that God reveals the secrets of his heart. See, in the place of prayer, God informs us of his next move. You know, when we talk about the coming of Christ, even though we are to look for Jesus, our understanding needs to be this. God wants us to keep on looking for Jesus, but not to the point that we are ineffective in the moment. You see, what prayer does is that prayer not only shows you the wider picture, prayer shows you also God's next step. See, God is moving constantly. He is moving upon your life. He is moving through your life. He is moving around your life, all across the world, from the north, from the south, east and west, all across the universe, in the seen and unseen realm. God is moving. God is active. And what he wants us to do is to walk with him and to recognize that every big journey, no matter how overwhelming, begins with the first step. So we should not be overwhelmed by the things that we cannot see, we cannot understand, we cannot comprehend. We just need to simply allow Jesus to take us by the hand in that place of closeness and intimacy and walk with him step by step, day by day, looking unto him, the one who is the author and the perfecter of our faith, trusting in him and growing in our ability to know him. Why? Because only those who know their God will be steadfast. They will stand firm and they will do great exploits for their God. Only those who know him. And there is outside of his word and outside of prayer, there is no other way to know your God. Amen. It's impossible. That's why I said, we got to learn, is it big difference between Christian, believer, disciple? Look, disciples would, the one who would lead them, the one who was their master, if you like, never left his side. In the Hebraic narrative, a disciple was recognized by the dust of the one whom they followed. They were covered in the dust that followed, that trailed him, because they never left his side. Amen. In this place of prayer, this is how you know him. And in knowing him, you will stand firm, you will be steadfast, and you will do great exploits. Number five, to be a people who are living ready, we need to understand the times that we are living in. Just like the sons of Issachar, God wants his people today to have an understanding of the times that they are living in. We find this in 1 Chronicles 12:32. Scripture speaks about the signs of the times, the signs in the heavens and on the earth. In Acts 2:17 and Matthew 24. And this is what I believe God is saying to us even now. The body of Christ does not have the luxury of ignorance. We don't have the luxury of, Lord, I didn't know. Right. We don't. We do not. Because he has provided us with the facility to discover, to obtain, to lay hold of every single mystery and hidden truths that is ours. God doesn't hide anything from us. He hides everything for us. And he wants us to be a people who are diligent in seeking out the revelation of these mysteries. See, God has given us a heart, a mind, and a spirit with which we must increase our awareness and discernment of these signs and all these things that are happening in our day. And as that awareness increases, we need to not go around setting up panic stations. We need to set up prayer stations. Amen. Child of God, it's not your portion to be panicked and fearful of all that's happening in the world. And you see the power of Russia growing. You see the power of Iran growing. You see the power of Turkey growing. You see Elon Musk and on all of his cronies doing all that they're going to do with the neural lace and the neural connections and all the transhumanism that's happening in the world right now. You see many parts of swathes of Europe now taking this chip in their left hand. It's in existence now. It's now being rolled out in America. And all these things are happening. And God says we should not be alarmed with what's happening, even in our own nation. He says, don't be alarmed. God isn't sitting around scratching his head, thinking, "Oh, I didn't know, Brexit was going to take that long," or what do we do? See, Michael, I don't know. I'm really at a loss here. I have no clue. I didn't see this coming. God saw it all coming. Amen. And the reason why we haven't seen what he's seen is because we're not walking with him as we should be walking with him. Allowing ourselves to be consumed by the age of the age that we're in. And the Lord is saying, come on, let me show you things. Let me show you. Call unto me, says the Lord, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you have not known, you haven't perceived, you haven't understood. Jeremiah 3:3:3. We need to be a people who are some practical things, study Bible prophecy. This is not just the beginning, and it definitely isn't the end. I said next year we are going to be creating more opportunity for the study of biblical prophecy and eschatology. And as a church, we're going to grow in these things together. We're going to enter into it together, and we give God praise. But I want to encourage you, study it yourself. And don't be afraid, study it. There's so many different things out there and quite a few wacky ones as well. So, you might want to stay away from those ones. But trust the Holy Spirit. Always pray. Always apply the blood. You go onto that YouTube, pray before you click on that button. Apply the blood. Say, Lord, touch my eyes, my eyes, my ears, my mind, my heart. And guard me and protect me from any nonsense that is not of you. Lord, show me the truth. I will not be deceived in Jesus' mighty name. I will not be confused. I won't be duped or fooled in Jesus' name. Show me, God. I'm telling you, He will. He will. He will. Search out credible sources of up-to-date prophecy news. These are things that I'll be sharing because I filter them through, and once I have stockpiled them, then I'll start to distribute them so you can actually not look for anything that if you don't have the time to do that, just use what is being provided. Okay, number six, we need to redeem the time. We need to make the most of every opportunity that God has given to us. Some of you may have come across this illustration. If you have, it's great to hear it again. If you had a bank that credited your account each morning with £86,000, hallelujah, that carried over no balance from day to day, and it allowed you to keep no cash in your account, and every evening canceled whatever part of the amount you failed to use during the day, what would you do? Draw out every penny, every day, of course, and use it to your advantage. You will take everything out and you will use it. Why? Because as soon as the clock hits midnight, it's gone. It says, well, you have such a bank, and the name of the bank is Time. Every morning it credits you with 86,400 seconds. Every night it rules off as lost whatever of this you fail to invest to good purpose. It carries over no balances. It allows no overdrafts. Each day, it opens a new account for you. If you fail to use the day's deposits, the loss is yours. There is no going back. There is no drawing against tomorrow, church. Amen. Amen. It is the greatest and most priceless commodity that we have. And as I taught a few years ago, God has everything in his possession except your time. Just let that settle. He has everything except your time and my time. He has given us time to steward and manage effectively. 86,400 seconds. He says, okay. Okay. Son, daughter, it's a new day. It's a new beginning. Weeping lasted for the night, but now my joy has come. Come on, son, get up. Let's go do some kingdom business. Let's go do some damage to the kingdom of darkness. Let's go love someone. Let's go bless someone. Let's go tell someone about my redemptive power. You know, come on, son. Come on, daughter. Let's do something together. Walk with me. Talk with me. Trust in me. Let's go. But Lord, I need to go bury my dad. Lord, I just bought a field that I need to tender. Lord, I don't think I've got time to do that right now because I really, really need to get this job done. God, I'm working on this project I really need to focus on. But Lord, didn't you say that you've given us all good things to enjoy? Oh, but Lord, you know, if I have all things to enjoy, then come on, you know, surely I can use my time to do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And church, yes, he has given us all things to enjoy, all things. And every good gift is from above and comes from the one who is the Father of lights, with whom there is no changing, there is no turning, there is no variation. But this is the deal. He says, your time, I don't have your time, you have your time. And you know what needs to be done because it's not hidden from you. You understand what needs to be achieved because I haven't concealed it from you. And now he says, redeem the time. Make the most of every opportunity. Because anything that we do in this life that has come from a misuse of our time, we will give an account for. That's the truth. Every single thing. Why? Because they will have no eternal significance. Nothing. You say, well, God, how can I make this a reality for me? It's so big. It's too vast for me to understand. Well, I shared it in point number 3 or 4. I can't remember. Just walk with him. Spend time with him. It's not about just knowing the big picture and seeing the vastness and the magnitude and the impossibility of the task. It's about embracing the simplicity of the next step. And that's all he needs you to do. Just walk with him. Trust in him. Obey him. And you will move forward by his grace. The last one, number 7, is this: stay on fire for God. Amen. Stay on fire for God. Remain in love with Jesus and never neglect the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Never, never, ever neglect the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So before I just unpack that one and I finish because time is gone, just to give you a recap, we need to be born again. We need to be in a church that does what God says it should do. I won't go through the whole thing again, but we just need to be in the right place. And that's why I say, if you don't, people come to LWC, they go. But if they don't feel it's the right place, you need to find the right place. We are not the perfect church. No church is a perfect church. But by the grace of God, we are who we are. I tweeted this in the week. You know, Jesus does not use gimmicks to build his church. He uses his glory. It's not man's ideas that build churches
or build the church of Jesus Christ. It's his glory. It's everything that he is. And what he wants us to do is to be a people of the glory. That's all he needs us to do. And to be a person of the glory, we need to be humble. We need to bring ourselves down to the lowest, lowest point so that Christ could be lifted up to the highest. That's what he wants. We put ourselves and our interest and our ambition and this and that before him. We're not doing that. And that's why it's a simple thing. You know, just find a church. Find a church. If this is the place for you, if you know that this you recognize these things, and I'm being very honest and very open and transparent, then praise God, get planted. We're going to talk about this in a few weeks. Get planted in the house of God. Because you know what? We have not got time to mess around anymore, church. I said we haven't got time to mess around anymore, church. Christ is coming back, and he's coming back real soon. That's why I say it openly, courageously, but in fear and in trembling. You got to find, if this is not the house for you, find the house for you and get planted there, because Christ will come back and he will cause you to stand before him in that bema seat and say, what did you do with your time? What did you do with your resources? What did you do with your talents and your treasures? It's not about LWC. It's about the kingdom of God. Amen. Number three, we've got to develop a habit of reading and studying this word of God. Become passionate about it. Number four, become a person of prayer. Number five, develop an understanding of the times that we're in. Number six, redeem the time. Make the most of every opportunity. And number seven, stay on fire for God. Remain in love with Jesus and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I finish with the reading of Matthew 25, 6 to 13. It says, and at midnight a cry was heard, and behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, less than should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready, church, those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, surely I say to you, I don't know you. I don't know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming back. Band, please come. So here we are, church. Here we are. Here we find ourselves in this day, in this time. This is when you were born. God didn't want you to be born 100 years ago. He would have done if he wanted to. This is an exciting generation. We're living in an exciting time. This could be the generation that sees the return of Messiah. And you were born in this time. You were born in this generation. And he wants us to be a people who are on fire for God. He wants us to be a people who are in love with Jesus. He wants us to be a people who are fellowshipping, constantly being replenished by the oil and the fire of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want us to be unwise. He wants us to be wise. He wants us to be sensible. He wants us to be pragmatic. He wants us to be a practical people. And it requires a price. It requires a cost. It requires preparation. It requires planning. It requires having vision. When you have vision, you will know the things that you have to say no to, and you will know the things that you must say yes to. If you know where you're going, then you know that anything that will distract you from reaching that objective has to be removed from you. It has got to be removed from you. It's like you know, you've lost a child, and some of you heard our story. We've shared it a few times. Years ago, you know, we lost Bissy, in Dolish. She was only about three. And we, I tell you what, if any of you who have been in this position, you are crushed. You are completely crushed. And you are driven by something. Something is compelling you. Something is causing you to just do whatever it takes to find what you're looking for. In this case, it was our three-year-old baby girl. And I tell you, we found her, praise God. She's here today, hallelujah. But in that moment of despair, in that moment of not knowing what was going on or what could have happened, I'm telling you, we weren't distracted by anything. Nothing. She became our all-consuming focus. Nothing distracted us from pursuing after that objective. Nothing did. And the reason why our brothers and sisters, or maybe even some of you in this room right now, are here, there, and everywhere is because you don't have a vision. You don't have God's vision for your life. That's the thing. You got to have a vision. And the only place that you can find this vision is in Christ himself. The only place that you can find this vision is his face. You got to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. You need to inquire of him in his temple. You need to sit at his feet. He says, God, show me who I am and show me who you've called me to be. Because until that happens, you might be a Christian, but you need to check whether or not you're a believer. You might even be a believer, but you need to check whether or not you're a disciple. Amen. Because as a disciple, you have Christ himself as your vision. Be thou my vision. That's the hymn, isn't it? That's what the word of God says. He is our vision. He is our sight. He is the one that we look upon. Yeah. And in this place, the Holy Spirit comes in a beautiful way, in his fire, in his glory. And he saturates us with his love. He consumes us. And he sets our heart on eternity. Eternity that has already started. God says, I'm not saying don't get a job. Don't get that hobby, that thing you love, that thing you enjoy. Because you know what? I enjoy it too, because I enjoy it with you. You know, I want you to be fruitful and productive in your job. God says, I want to give you a wife and a son and a daughter and a family. Don't make that family an idol now. Don't make it an idol. I know what I'm talking about. I have one wife, six children. Don't make it an idol. Don't make that thing that I've given you an idol. Don't make that job an idol. Don't make that hobby an idol. Don't make that project an idol. Don't make your children an idol. Because I have to be number one. I have to be first. I have to be your one thing. I must be your vision. Because in doing that, in progressing forward and moving forward with your eyes fixed on Christ, burning with the fire of the Holy Spirit, do you know what will happen? Everything else will fall into place. That's the whole concept behind Matthew 6:33, seek first. You got to seek first this kingdom. Seek first this kingdom and his righteousness. And he says, all these things, everything that I have given to you will be added to you. But not just added to you, they will be effective. They will be effectual. They will multiply. They will overflow. They will have an abundance. And you, child of God, will progress as I have called you to progress forward. This is why Satan comes and says, I'm going to take your vision out. I'm going to stop you seeing tomorrow. And I'll cause you to focus on only today. I will cause you to be consumed by your history, by your yesterday. I will keep you, I'll keep causing you to turn around and look at your past. Forget pillar of salt. He says, I'm going to be a pillar in his house. God says, I'm going to be a pillar in his temple. I'm going to be a pillar in that heavenly Jerusalem. He says, you're not going to leave this place. You're going to be someone that I will adore. You're going to be someone. He's saying this to every single child of God. But here is this this deceiver saying, I want to make you a pillar now, but this will be a pillar of salt, because we keep on looking back, keep on looking at where we've come from. You got to understand, you can't look back and move forward at the same time. God is saying, you got to keep your eyes fixed on me. You need to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. He is your vision. He is the reason why you're going to move forward in the things of God. And when you see him, just like someone that you've lost, or something that you've lost, the supernatural ability to not only search for him with great ferocity, great passion, great determination will be imparted into you. I believe this is what God is saying, that he will release the same zeal over your life to you, the same zeal for him, the same zeal that he had for you in seeking after you, in searching after you, in pursuing after you by way of the cross. That same zeal that he had for you, God is going to release in you for him. Can you see that with me? Did I explain that? Are you with me this morning? That same zeal that he had upon himself. Oh, church, I know time has gone, but this is really precious. Dinner can wait. Maybe it can't, I don't know, but the same zeal that he had to seek after you is the same zeal that you will have to seek after him. And when that happens, everything else that will prevent you from that, I'm telling you, I see him now. And I say, Jesus, you are all I'll ever need. You are my one true love. You are my first love, God. I long for you. I want you. Come on, stand to your feet right now. Lord, I need your presence. I need your presence, Lord. Because God said, don't let anyone cause you to lose your crown. Don't let anyone cause you to lose your crown. If you have the ability, just begin to honor him now. Just honor him now. Begin to talk to him now. You want to talk to him in the quietness? You talk to him in the quietness. You want to go a little bit loud? You go a bit loud. That's okay. God is okay with that. Just begin to reach out to him and say, Lord, here I am. Give me this vision. Give me, you are my vision. Let me see your face again. Let me return to my first love. Let me come back to that place of intimacy. Let me come back to that place of true devotion. Lord Jesus, I long for you. Lord, I search for you. Even in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, so I have searched for you in your sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your love is better than life itself. My soul follows hard after you. Lord, I'm not going to be caught napping. I'm not going to be caught asleep. I'm going to burn with the fire of Jesus. I'm going to burn with the fire of your Holy Spirit. I want to close the meeting. We're not quite done yet. I want to close the meeting. I want to release anyone who feels they need to go. As I release you, I want to release you with a blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship, the partnership, the participation of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. We love you and we bless you and we release you in the mighty name of Jesus. If you can make it tonight, it's going to be spectacular. If you can be in the house, be in the house. If you don't want to leave right now, I want to encourage you, just tarry in his presence. We're going to officially close the meeting, but just tarry in his presence. Just wait on the Lord. Come to the end of the series, just wait on the Lord, because it's an impartation that needs to take place. This zeal that only just came to me, this zeal It's one thing. It's the one thing that Mary had. It's the one thing that David had. It's the one thing that Jesus was talking about to the rich young ruler. He says, I want to be your one thing. I want to be your magnificent obsession. I want to be the one that you focus on, that you don't turn away from. Oh God, show us now, Holy Spirit. Show us now. We welcome you, Holy Spirit.